Welcome to the Voices.Earth podcast series. Today we're speaking with Dr. Bruno Marino, the founder and CEO of the Planet Alpha Corporation, an organization that was formed to develop new practices for planetary management and stewardship now and for the future of humanity. And Planet Alpha Corp is also a .earth domain user and can be found at planetalphaforest.earth. And Bruno, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, Matthew. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time. Now, your organization is very unique. You know, we spent some time on the website learning about what you're all about, and you're certainly addressing some serious kind of planetary management challenges, which is really awesome to see. But would love to hear from your perspective. You know, tell us a little bit more about Planet Alpha Corp, the mission, your vision behind the organization, all that good stuff.
Yes, of course. And thank you for having me. Well, I think that we developed Planet Alpha because we believe that unless we take collective action, to link human activities to verified reduction in emissions, and unless we do that now, our chance of maintaining the Earth as we know it will diminish with time. And in particular, future generations will face unknown environmental conditions, and these may disrupt societal norms. Importantly, what we are doing now is simply not working to manage the atmospheric composition of the atmosphere and the resulting climate change.
Excellent. That's a great vision there. Now, I understand that you all have kind of a four-step process, if you will. So I guess to back up here, the big question is, how does it work? You know, what do you all offer? I guess, and I'm sure the four-step process is part of this. But yeah, let's go a little bit deeper on what you all do.
Yes. Well, I think the important piece of Planet Alpha is that we are, in fact, providing measurement to monetization infrastructure, primarily for forests in this case. And what this does, in essence, it supports the ecologies and societies of scale, particularly for the world's poorest regions. And what we have found, surprisingly, is that when we began this process, we did not expect to have much of a response. And in fact, we found that almost every entity, a landowner, an NGO, a governmental department, and we found that in every case, there was a very high affinity for what we wanted to do. And we really weren't ready for that. So through our experience to date, we have a simple four-step process. The first one is to identify suitable lands. In particular, we believe that restoring land that's damaged or deforested is a very logical way to begin to defragment the biosphere, bring it back together. So the first part is simply selecting land and the appropriate relationship with the landowner. Although in some cases, people living on the land don't have a bank account or they don't have a title for the land and so on. So we're very interested in working with situations where we can establish a clear relationship between those on the land and the way they receive or will receive compensation. So that's number one, identify the land, enter it into an agreement that the tribes, who does what. And then the second step is we monitor, we bring to the site our own equipment to directly measure the gases, CO2 principally, but also N2O and methane. And from that, we determine the rate at which those gases move into and move out of the project area. when CO2 is retained or stored or sequestered by the forest, then that is a, in essence, in our view, that's a carbon product. And that then becomes a potential offset to others who may buy that to offset their emissions. That's step one, step two. Step three then is to take the information that we obtain from the site and essentially craft it into a data product that supports a revenue stream. It supports a way to interest consumers into buying these products. And then the fourth piece of this is to allow this to occur over time. Forests really respond over time to conditions, unless they're, you know, some catastrophic event. So we'd like to think that these projects are certainly on the books for 10 years and longer. So in that respect, every year there's a sort of renewal, if you will, a cycle, a virtuous cycle, in fact, that we hope to instill in these projects. So those are the four steps, and they're quite simple, although they may take some time, depending on the specifics of the project, for example.
That's great. You know, Bruno, tell us about some of the projects that you have going on now. I know you have a lot of these listed on your website, even some very interesting pending projects, but maybe tell us about some of the active projects that are happening now.
Yes, I think, as I said, we did not expect to have the big response that we did. But that was a good problem to have, because we were able to select some projects that we think have very high significance, certainly societal and ecological, but also for humanity. For example, one of our leading projects is in the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa. This land that we are involved in through a very well-known organization, that organization is Strong Roots Congo in Africa. This land is going to provide a virtual genetic link between two important preserved areas in the project area. And what this means is that this 3 million hectares is a link between a reserve to the north and a reserve to the south. So we are, in fact, working with the director of Strong Roots, Dominique Bicaba, to understand how to structure the project. For example, there are 7 community areas in the project land. One of those is a protected habitat for the growler gorilla, and this particular species is endangered. So in that case, for example, the work we do is to simply verify the natural emissions there. As long as the gorillas stay on top of this land, it cannot be developed. And thus, that is an avoidance type of credit or offset. There are areas for agroforestry, areas for afforestation. Afforestation simply means that the inhabitants in the area must have a forest for their own uses, humanitarian purposes, building homes, building schools, building clinics, and so on. And other areas, yeah, might involve areas where no doubt there will be population growth. And there is an opportunity perhaps to create from the beginning a city, a zero emission city, for example. So this is a multifaceted project with very high potential for achieving these very important goals for the project and for the larger demonstration to humanity that we can, in fact, reverse, restore, and conserve the balance between human activity and, of course, the preservation of nature.
Wow, that's great. Fascinating stuff there. You know, Bruno, let's shift gears for a second here. I know you all are a user of a .earth domain, which is awesome. What made you all choose to use a .earth domain name?
Well, I think our view is that the Earth is our planetary home. And we are a company that very much wants to define a business paradigm that addresses this fact. That domain, .earth, seemed to be the natural domain for us to have.
That's great. That's excellent. So, you know, shifting focus once again, you know, tell us about what does the future hold for you all? I imagine scaling out and doing many more projects like the one you're doing in the Congo. What's your future vision there?
Well, the future is just as you have said, we expect to take on a wide variety of new projects. But I think the most important thing for us is to be able to have a metric or a set of metrics that really help us understand the best ways to restore and conserve and blend in humanitarian and anthropogenic impacts with nature. We find that so many projects that work in this area, conservation and preservation, are fantastic projects, but often they don't last as long as they might or as long as they should to provide this very long-term effect. So our vision is to create this cycle that I spoke about before, that in a sense, you know, pays it forward, to use that terminology, and that creates in and of itself a virtuous cycle that becomes positive, that's economically attractive, and that, of course, preserves humanity and nature at the same time. We have to understand how best to do that. Unless we take stock, we simply won't know. And the fact is, we don't have time to, in my opinion, make a large error in this respect.
That's awesome. Great insights there. You know, Bruno, this has been a fantastic podcast, and you guys have a truly awesome organization. It's very much needed in today's day and age. And, you know, before we sign off today, is there anything else to add, anything we may have missed?
Well, we do have some important advancements in the company recently, and that is that we are now involved in offering a carbon security. That would mean that an investor could invest in a portfolio of forest projects, and that investment is in the form of buying a security. So we've used a very innovative way to, I think, finance climate of work, and this is through the Regulation A Plus offering, which is a result of the Jobs Act. So this information can be found on our website as well, and this is a way for investors to participate in a very transactional way with these important forest projects for the future.
Wow, that's really incredible. You guys really are doing some awesome stuff there. It's truly organizations like yourself that will make a huge difference in the future for ourselves, for our children, grandchildren, and the future of humanity. And that's a perfect way to end this podcast interview. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth interview with Dr. Bruno Marino, the founder and CEO of Planet Alpha Corp, which is an organization that was formed to develop new practices for planetary management and stewardship for now and, as we mentioned, for the future of humanity. And Bruno, thank you so much for your time today.
It's my pleasure, Matt. Thank you.